paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Look at the bright side. If you're a Nashville fan, you don't have to see Ty France for the rest of the year. And if he stays in the National League, and hopefully he's a Red, because, yeah, they played a little better this year, but they're kind of inconsequential. He'll never do anything to ruin an important game for you, because all he did this week was be a heckler. And he hit a home run against Brian Abreu to win the game. So the Astros get swept. They lose that game. Don't score runs. Hunter Brown, good. Abreu, bad. That's kind of my synopsis of the game. And Todd France, a destroyer of worlds. He had 9 hits in the series in the 3-game sweep. The Mariners win, so now the lead's down to 4.5. And frankly, because I'm petty, the only reason I'm sort of okay with that is because John's prediction of winning the division by 10 games or more seems like, as we continue to progress in September, that becomes less of a possibility. I mean, the Mariners are the Mariners, so they could really fall off the rest of the way. But that's the only reason I'm not as disappointed in the series as I might normally be, is because John is inching closer and closer away from being right. You take the small victory, Sean, you take the small ones, and this one feels like one where his at the time asinine prediction that the 10 games behind first Astros would win the division, that one you got to credit him for. That one appears to be coming true. Or actually what he said was they'd be in first place by the end of a certain time. I forgot which month it was.
So I think it was July.
He's right on that. I can't fight him on that. He got that right. It was asinine at the time. But this one, the double-digit division win, I feel pretty good, but then I realized the Mariners can go cold again and continue to lose in walk-off fashion, which means there's a real shot. He's right. But right now, feeling pretty confident. Thanks to Ty France. I was trying to compare Ty France to someone because the
Michael Jordan.
Well, against the Astros, yes, he is
Barry Bonds.
He is baseball's Michael Jordan against the Astros. But as far as Houston enemies, Houston villains, and you know the initial thought is like kind of T.Y. Hilton, because T.Y. Hilton was messing around and destroying games that the Texans thought they had chances to win. But T.Y. Hilton was a 4-time Pro Bowler. Now, Ty France has only made the Pro Bowl, the All-Star game once. So I need a lesser player than T.Y. Hilton to make this comparison. Is there anyone else in Houston history who, for the most part, is just an average player, but when he sees a Houston team, he turns himself into a Hall of Famer? Because Albert Pujols was just a Hall of Famer. Sure, he had big-time moments against the Astros, but he's a legit Hall of Famer. Ty France ain't that. T.Y. Hilton's not going to make the Hall of Fame, but for a time, he was probably a top 10 receiver in the NFL during his run. Ty France ain't that. What is he? I can't think of a comparison.
Mehmet Okur against the Rockets in 2007.
Is he an AK-47 type? Is he a Kirilenko type?
I think Kirilenko's too good.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's more Okur.
It's not a bad one. It's not a bad one. Like, these games, like, Ty France was a nuisance, but he never kept the Astros from winning anything that they wanted to win. Like, when he's with the Mariners, well, we know the history there. So it's mostly a guy who's winning inconsequential regular season games. That's what I'm looking for. A guy, oh, no. This guy's, we're playing this guy again, and you can comfort yourself with, it's just a regular season. I mean, the Pujols stuff is, like, ruining people's lives. I'm not gonna make that comp. And if you guys have a thought, 713-780-3776, who's the Ty France comparison in your lives? In fact, I'm using Houston as a basis for this, but it doesn't have to be. I know some of you out there don't root for the local teams. Maybe you've got your own Ty France that we don't know anything about. If you are, let's say, an Iowa fan, I'm sure it's like one of the Ferentz guys, what son or father, although for obviously Kirk Ferentz has been a really good coach. But maybe there's someone in the Big Ten who isn't really good but has ruined your Saturday just because that's what he does when he sees you. I am interested in that because I can't find the right Ty France comparison. But the Astros are done with him. They're done with the Reds. Now they see the Diamondbacks. It was disappointing, the series. They haven't played great in their last 20. And because of that, they've kept the Mariners in the race, despite the Mariners willing to give this over to the Astros, just 4.5 back. So we've got, look, let's get to Thomas. We normally don't get to calls in the first segment, but Thomas, you got some comments on Ty France. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I was going to say Jason Terry against the Rockets. Mm. I feel like he's a pretty good player, never like, was a great, great player, but every time he, especially like when he was the Mavs, whenever he played the Rockets, he'd go for like 30 and be like, not miss a 3-point shot.
That's a pretty good one. Jason Terry has had moments against the Rockets. Not bad. Like you said, pretty good player. Never a great player. Does have a championship on his resume. Not bad. Thomas, you got anything else?
Yeah, I know you're talking baseball, but I was gonna just ask about Lamar Jackson. He spent all this time trying to become a good passer, or get him to be an NFL passer. And then last night they kept chatting about how the championship game really got to him, and now he has to make bigger plays. And so I'm gonna do hot take and go, is Lamar Jackson gonna regress because he's now gonna rely on his feet? So. But, yeah, man, I'll hang up and listen. Have a good show.
Appreciate it, Thomas. Yeah, the quote from Lamar right before the game came out and said if his legs felt better in the title game, they would have won it. I would say, Zay Flowers, don't fumble the football going into the end zone, you might have won it. But I think last night was, like, you think about this. I always compare it to college football. Some quarterbacks, they run them, or teams run them when the games matter more. Like, if you think, let's use one of the quarterbacks in this city's most recent history, Deshaun Watson at Clemson. They ran him in the biggest moments, but they weren't going to run him against Wake Forest. They were going to run him in the ACC title game against Florida State in the playoff, because those games matter more. We're going to save him for those moments. I think Lamar Jackson saw the Chiefs on the schedule and said, this is one of those games where hits be damned. I'm going to dole out punishment myself, and I'm going to run the football. I've had all offseason to recuperate from any injuries I might have suffered. We have a bit of a mini bye. I'll be ready to go again when we get on the field next Sunday. So I'm going to run the football. I think that's part of it. This was an opportunity to see if his legs could help them win that game. And a lot of their offense came from his legs, and whether it be design runs or scrambles. He had a couple of big plays down the field late as they were forced to throw the football. And, of course, he had a couple of missed throws that eventually led to them losing. And we'll certainly get into Chiefs-Ravens in the next segment as the Texans begin their season. We'll talk about that, too, with the Colts on the schedule coming up here. So, will he regress as a passer? I wasn't comforted by what I saw from the Ravens passing game. It's pretty much Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely in scramble stuff. But Lamar Jackson does not play on time. And I'm not even blaming Lamar Jackson, because I'm not sure that this will be a thing throughout the year. It just, against the Chiefs, he doesn't fare well. I think he's now like 1-5 against the Chiefs, or Patrick Mahomes in specifics. They don't play well. That's one of their, that's their kryptonite right now. We saw it last year in the title game. We see it now in last night's game. They have an issue having a competent passing game against the Chiefs. And maybe it's just the way the offense is designed. It's another coordinator, but you don't see Lamar Jackson get to the top of his drop and fire the football. And some of that people love. Like, if you go on NFL Twitter, or particularly NFL podcast, that area of the conversation, they credit Lamar Jackson for being the totality of that Ravens offense, because everything's on his back. He's got to do everything. I don't want to get into how long can he do it. His athleticism is eventually going to leave. Well, right now, clearly, it remains. So that's a conversation for 2 years or 3 years from now. It's not about the here and now. But I think what would help, if he could drop back the pass, get hit that final step, that back foot hits, and he releases the football. There's not a lot of that with him. And to be honest, there's not really a lot of that with Patrick Mahomes. They just do it a different way. They're capable of holding the football, kind of letting guys do secondary things. We see what Travis Kelce does. He's never really open on his initial route. It's always the improvisational stuff that gets him open. I think Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, although he had a quiet night last night, are the kings of that. But Lamar Jackson operates that way too. And it's kind of applauded because defenses are so good, you're not always going to be able to play in rhythm, and you need that secondary reaction stuff to thrive. He was okay last night. The two missed throws at the end of the night are going to stick out. And according to Lamar Jackson, he didn't miss a throw you thought he missed. He wasn't even aiming for Zay Flowers. He was looking at Rashad Bateman. By the way, if he was looking at Rashad Bateman, it's probably even worse.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Lamar, that's so much worse.
If I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm like, yeah, I was looking at Zay Flowers. Because why were you throwing the ball where you thought Rashad Bateman should be? You weren't even close there.
Rashad Bateman was like barely open, too.
Yeah.
Zay Flowers was way more open.
Now, he talked about Justice Hill being matched up on Chris Jones. That happened two plays in a row for whatever reason. And that kind of entered into his thought process. That's why he was moving around, and maybe it affected the accuracy. I get it. You don't want the smallest running back on your roster blocking Chris Jones, although Justice Hill, credit to him, did a pretty good job. They slid away from him with slide protection and just left him on an island against the Chiefs' best defensive player. Justice Hill's like, why don't you pay me right tackle money then if you're gonna force me to do that?
Yeah, I have some notes on that for the Ravens. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that anymore. Great way to live.
Yeah, there was one. It was on the first throw when they were down there. I think that was the first likely throw in the red zone.
Yeah,
where it literally, they snapped the ball with 19 seconds left, and at the end of the play, there was 10 seconds left because of
how much
Lamar was moving around. And I don't know, after 5 seconds, I'll just throw it away. Like, why are we waiting so long?
Yeah, and they wound up not getting to fourth and goal because of the time spent on that initial pass. So the Ravens go down. We can get more into that as we are well on our way in the NFL season. We've got the Eagles and the Packers tonight on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock, there are ways to watch, but it's allegedly and that's what the NFL is pushing it as, exclusively on Peacock, so you guys can go out and get Peacock. If you know, you know. There are ways to watch that game without having a Peacock subscription. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Not Lazy J, although I haven't heard from him in a while. He can call in. Fake Ryan, I see you. Another guy who doesn't use his real name. And then Eric, I see you too. We'll get to you when we come back. But before I do that, I want to talk about the Red Bull Show Run. That is tomorrow out at Discovery Green. We've talked quite a bit about it in the last couple weeks. You guys should go out there. It's a pop-up event. It does not cost to go out there. You can experience things from watching the F1 cars go around Discovery Green. You know, the F1 cars are fast, probably the coolest coolest cars in motor racing. Check them out there. And they're going to have a fan experience that you can take part in. The gates open at 10. No tickets are needed. You can check out the race simulator. You want to feel what it's like to be in one of those cars? You're going to get the opportunity. If you just want to take a picture with those cars, you can do that as well. And we had Paul Wall on the John Lance Show yesterday. Later in the day tomorrow, you're going to have a chance to turn up. They've got an event where you're going to have competing DJs, and that'll take you through the night. So it could be an all-day event for you. If you want to go out there to check out the cars in the morning and to check out the greatest that Houston has to offer in food trucks, you can do that too throughout the morning and afternoon. And then eventually at night, you've got the best that music has to offer in the city. So tomorrow, Discovery Green Red Bull Showrun is going. You should check it out. The car is going to be cool. The drivers are cool. They're going to be out there kind of showing you how those cars work. RedBull.com/ShowrunHouston is the website to get more information. That's RedBull.com/ShowrunHouston.
ESPN. 97.5.
Kane is in the building there.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Let's get to these calls here. We don't treat you like the morning show treats you. Like, we had a guy who waited for 50 minutes. Doesn't happen here. We respect you more than those guys do. I know I'm on that show, but I don't control when they go to the phones. That's how I separate myself. Let's go to Eric. Eric wants to join the show. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Azel. You think the Ravens made a mistake by signing Derrick Henry? He didn't really do anything much last night. Also, when's Cheryl Swoops going to get fired? Why is she hating on Caitlin Clark? Because she's white and she's a great ball player and she's straight. And who do you appreciate more? Abigail Dias workout videos or Kim Castro's? I mean, if it listens.
I've never seen their workout videos. I question if they exist. I'm not even going to look them up to see if you're telling the truth. I prefer living in this world of naivete where I either take you at your word or think you're a liar. We'll stick with that. As far as Cheryl Swoops, I don't know if she's going to get fired. She is taking an approach that I think is putting her in a position where she might. I don't know what the issue is with her and her ability or inability to have what you would say are non-biased conversations about Caitlin Clark. She has decided to push the other players in the league, and Caitlin Clark is not someone she wants to recognize. That's her decision, and it'll be her employer's decision whether to allow that to continue. I think they pulled her off a game and put Nancy Lieberman on a game, so at least for one game, so the employer didn't like the way she was covering the league. If we just made it about the NBA, it would be as if, let's see, a rookie who's
Charles and Shaq doing a Rudy Gobert game.
Well, Shaq did take a shot at Rudy Gobert. We might play, but no, it's not that, because Shaq taking shots at Rudy Gobert, people are fine with for the most part. It would be as if, and Rudy Gobert is not the level star in comparison to Caitlin Clark is. It would be as if, thinking about if Wembanyama came into the league, he did it last year, and some local broadcaster decided, you know what, I ain't ever mentioned a Wembanyama. Never. Anytime he does something, I'm going to talk about how Devin Vassell is doing. Yeah. And how Sheldon, what's not Sheldon, what's his name? Keldon Johnson is doing. It would be like that. Although the Fever have been much better than the Spurs, particularly in the last 2 months or so, and really right after the Olympic break was over, they've been great. But it would be like that. I'm trying to think if the Rockets didn't have Ryan Hollins, but it was Clyde Drexler calling games, or Calvin Murphy. Calvin Murphy was on the play by play, being an analyst, and anytime Wembanyama did something, he wouldn't acknowledge it. Now, Would the Rockets step in and go, hey, you got to actually talk about this guy? Or are they like, no, we're going to leave that alone. What the Wings, I think, is who she works for. What the Wings did was take her off the broadcast. We'll see if that continues. What else did he say? as I
Ravens.
Given Derrick Henry. The Derrick Henry thing always, I get the name, and everyone's excited about having Derrick Henry with what is supposed to be a physical team, and you feel like he fits what they do. But Lamar Jackson operates quite a bit out of shotgun and then some pistol stuff too. Derrick Henry's a downhill runner. He needs to build up steam headed to the line of scrimmage. Putting him in shotgun sets and playing him that way doesn't feel like a great maximization of his skill set. That's why I always thought when people were saying, let's put him with the Bills, he would be a great fit with the Bills. The Bills, at least up until Joe Brady took over, and they still do operate this way, love to be in the spread. Derrick Henry's not a spread running back. Downhill. So how many times is he going to be on the field when you see Justice Hill have his impact even beyond the blocking and Lamar Jackson running out of the shotgun, those formations? It'll be a pretty interesting balance. I didn't get the fit. At least I wasn't as excited about the fit as others were. I always thought that's not Derrick Henry's style. You need more of a traditional downhill running game for that guy to be effective. We'll see how it plays out. In game one, I wouldn't put too much on the ineffectiveness of Derrick Henry. I think the Chiefs are just a really good defense. I picked the Ravens to win. I didn't expect one of their linemen to never be able to line up correctly, particularly in the first half.
Why does the NFL decide that the kickoff game is just the game that they're going to decide to call that illegal formation play on the lineman that never gets called in every other game the rest of the season? Because the same exact thing happened last year with Juwan Taylor in the Chiefs-Lions game. They just didn't call it.
I don't know. I don't know why.
They call it for the rest of the year. They
wanted to make an example of someone in week one or early in the season.
No, not week one. In game one.
The last two years they've done it in game one. And then with all the eyes on them, and then the criticism they may not like or the pushback they might not like, so it now is no longer a point of emphasis. Like, Ronnie Stanley was the offensive lineman in question I was referencing who kept getting called for illegal formation penalties because he wasn't on the line of scrimmage, at least to the liking of the officials. He got hit with it multiple times. Eventually, it cooled down in the second half, and we watched Juwan Taylor get an early start on it feels like every Mahomes drop back, and they didn't call it ever. It goes all the way back, and it's not just, oh, he's with the Chiefs. I saw a lot of people tweeting, like, for whatever reason, people have these memes in their back pocket that they can bring out of referee uniforms and Chiefs colors. I saw one.
Oh, the jersey swap?
Yeah, that one. I saw a disturbing one where Patrick Mahomes was making out with the referee.
Wow.
Yeah.
When that happen?
It never happened.
Oh.
But
you saw a picture.
I did see a picture.
It was online.
Yeah. There are things that make me think some things that happen online aren't real. I've been disillusioned.
All right.
I've been
enough
disillusioned.
Crazy talk.
I know. I got it. So that Juwan Taylor thing goes back to Jacksonville. And why would the NFL care about the Jaguars? He was doing that in the playoff game that the Chargers blew against them. Joey Bosa went nuts. So it's Juwan Taylor. We know how Larry Tunsil complained about getting targeted. In fact, Ronnie Stanley said something like that too. They're after getting me pretty much. Juwan Taylor's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. They love me. They love me. And I can't explain it why everyone sees he's getting away from the line of scrimmage early, a half a beat earlier, even just a full beat earlier, however, whatever measurement that is. But you see it. Your eyes see it, and the referees don't care. They say that's within the rules.
And they called it, or they called the formation against Juwan Taylor in the Chiefs-Lions game last year. And then I remember week two, like, they're playing at noon again, and people were screenshotting that and being like, this is way more egregious than what he was doing last week, and they're just not calling it. It's crazy that, I don't know, the first game, they're like, no, let's just make sure we throw, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 extra penalties that we won't call for the rest of the year, just to really get people back in the mood for football.
It almost felt like with Ronnie Stanley that he took the approach of what the Patriots used to do. They can't call us for defensive holding all the time, except in this case, the referee's like, yes, we can.
Yeah,
we will call you for this formation penalty all the time until you get to a spot that we want you to get to. So that happened last night. The Chiefs go 1-0. They beat the Ravens in a game where I did like that Harbaugh was going to go for two when he thought he scored that touchdown. Let's end this right now. I mean, I'm done.
No OT tonight.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with football for tonight. Let's wrap this up. And he tried to.
It's 11 o'clock. All right.
Let's wrap it up. Game's over. I mean, there was already a delay because of the weather. Let's get it going. Everyone's got other things to do. Didn't happen because Isaiah Likely, who I think was wearing like Deion's old cleats that have come back now that Deion is a prominent member of the football world again. They brought back those shoes. He was wearing them. Foot was on the line, or his toe was on the line. Game over. Chiefs win. Fake Ryan, I see you. We'll get to you. And anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We're going to ask you guys, and certainly Sean, how to plan your Saturday. College football is here. We had a good week last week. At least this show did. Our teams won. Sean has a bigger test than he had last week. Mm. Well, that's Sean throwing slander at the defending champions. Sean Mapes.
No, respecting Colorado State.
Okay.
They're Mountain West school. Well, the Michigan played a Mountain West school in Fresno. It was a tight game.
So you're saying, but it wasn't tight for you guys.
No.
I just think, when you're talking about the defending national champions, it's a little disrespectful as Texas faces Michigan in the Big Noon kickoff game. So we'll talk about that, how Sean's going to plan his day. Does his day, how adversely affected is his day if his team loses early in the day? I know it affects me. We'll see what Sean says. We'll get to that when we come back. But before we go, Sean, if you've got a prize, what type of picks will you make?
Oh, I'll be making them on Prize Picks. I don't know if that made sense.
No, it didn't.
We said the word Prize Picks a bunch.
That's just a clue.
That's a good way to start.
For Sean to do what he has to do. Or yes. Wants to do.
Wants to do. Because I want to give you money. I want you to have fun this football season. And the way to do it is on Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app in America. Prize Picks. Week one. I guess already started. But there's going to be a bunch of games on Sunday. There's going to be a bunch of games, like Dell was saying, on Saturday. They have not just football on Prize Picks. I'm just going down the list. They have the NFL season-long projections. They have MLB, WNBA, MMA. They have soccer, CS2. They have LOL, VAL. I don't know what these things are. Tennis, darts, Halo. You can make Halo picks? I might make some Halo picks in this draft or in this next break, and you can too. Just go to Prize Picks, download the app, use code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play Prize Picks. That's code MAPES, and you get $50 when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get that bonus. Just go to Prize Picks right now and run your game.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. A little bit later, we will get into how to plan our Saturday. There's a big game early, but after that, as we are making our way through the college football Saturday, what are the other games we should be watching? And hell, if the Michigan-Texas game goes a certain way, or maybe you just hate Texas and not in the way that you hate them, so you hate watch them like some people do. Like, I hate Florida State, so I'll hate watch to make sure they lose. Like, Monday night was a great night. I watched them. Why would you watch something you hate?
You're 3-0 this season.
Yeah. Why would you watch something you hate? Because I want to see what I hate go down in flames. So I saw that with Florida State. Maybe you guys do that. Maybe you don't. So you're not going to watch Texas at all. So we'll get into what to watch when 11 o'clock hits. But for the most part, this show will be focused on Texas, Michigan, and we'll go through the rest of the day as well. But Fake Ryan wants to get in. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. What's up, Fake Ryan?
Hey, salutations, Dale. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm great, Fake Ryan. What's up?
Oh, no, nothing much. Just waited about 45 minutes on your show.
That's not
5 minutes less than the other show.
It wasn't 45 mm-hmm. minutes.
Anyway, hey Dale, since this is the Soccer Matters with Dale Lele, how come we're not talking about the big game against Brazil and Colombia?
Well, it isn't the name of the show, and that's not how you say my last name, so that's one of the answers. What's so big about this game? What has your interest in the Colombia versus Brazil game?
Is it the downfall of Brazil? Because Brazil hasn't been good at all, and then is Vinny even playing at all? Because he got injured in the last game, correct?
If you say so. Yes, he did get injured, yes. Yeah. So,
okay.
So you think, wait a minute, when are they playing? What day is it, Fake Ryan? When is Brazil and Colombia playing?
Today.
And are you?
Brazil.
It's
in Brazil. Playing in Brazil.
Oh, it's the September window. That's right, because the U.S. had their call-ups as well. So are you going to be focused on it? Are you going to watch Brazil and Colombia playing a game that doesn't mean anything?
Well, who else is playing in Brazil?
I'd have to look at who their call-ups were, Fake Ryan. I do not care about friendlies in September. Maybe that's on me. I'm focused on the Premier League, which has a week off or 10 days off because of the September window. But I will look at it. I will see if Vinny's going to play. I'll see if other Brazilians like Andres Pereira are going to play. I can't tell you I'm going to be actually locked in on that game, Fake Ryan. It's not at the top of the list.
And since I saw this on the honor of Labor Day, Joey Chestnut broke his record with 83 hot dogs, guzzled down. And I saw Sean Mapes eating one the other day on the ESPN app or on the Instagram. I was wondering who can get Glizzy the most glizzles down on the Glizzery if they had a contest. Who would win?
For ESPN 975?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, Brazil's playing Ecuador today, not Colombia.
Same thing.
No, they're different South American countries. I was like, wait a minute.
They're all South American teams.
That makes them different. Don't be like that, Fake Ryan. You know they're different. So your whole premise of your call is false, which is fine with me. I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember that game being scheduled. It's Ecuador in a game I'm not going to watch. But thank you, Fake Ryan. As far as your glizzy question, I guess you mean about the ESPN 975 personalities. Who would take down the most? I'm not a hot dog person. I'm not completely against them, but it's never going to be my 1 through 5 choice of things to choose from at the ballpark or anything else. So I'd probably be one of the bottom guys on the list. John's a Chicago guy, so you would think he could, as you say, guzzle down a couple glizzies. It's not my words. It's what Fake Ryan said. Okay. I'm just going by what he said.
I guess we have to say what he says.
Not all the time, but in this case, it's funny, so yes. What else? Ranking. I'm going to go with John because of his Chicago
roots.
Yes. Hot dog.
Also got Joe with Chicago roots.
Joe, John. Joe 1, John 2. Lance thinks he's a foodie, so I'll throw him in at 3.
I don't think being a foodie helps you guzzle down glizzies.
Hey, there's no real logic to this this ranking. Don't worry about it. I'm just adding little sidebars to everything. Joel is a Midwesterner. He goes ahead of Lance. Joel's a Midwesterner. He's used to brats, but it's not that different. So he'll be 3.
That's controversial.
I know, to a Midwesterner. Yeah, sure. But I ain't from there, so I'll just make stuff up. Number 4 is Lance. Number 5? B-Mac? Is B-Mac like hot dogs or glizzies? Do you know that?
I imagine so. I can't imagine him not liking him. And he has had at another radio station competitive eating experience.
All right, then he moves up to 2. And then we drop Lance to 5. There it is. You happy, Fake Ryan? I made up a list completely talking out of my ass. There's your answer. All right. I mean, that was the height of nonsense, but we welcome it. You want to get in, you can do that as well. So the Texans and the Colts on Sunday. If we're talking about ways the Texans lose this game, because I start with that because they're expected to win, unless your name is Pete Prisco, who thinks they're going to lose. But for the most part, they're expected to win this game. Lance had one of his NFL network buddies talked to him about it. He didn't want to give us his name, former player. He doesn't think the Colts have a chance. He thinks the Texans are going to dominate. And Stephon Diggs, that we call that rat poison, by the way. Stephon Diggs is going to be someone the Colts can't handle. And if they do decide to pay a lot of attention to him in that short to intermediate range, it'll open up things for Nico and Tank.
Can't believe Steve Mariucci said that.
I don't know.
Baldinger.
I tried to guess Lance. which NFL Brian Baldinger is not talking to Lance. I was trying to guess. And Lance always
referenced Jones Drew.
He always does reference like the players that he thinks we're going to care about. So I like Baldy. Baldy does good breakdowns online, but he never has like referenced talking to Baldinger before. I think it's either Maurice Jones-Drew or Michael Robinson. He said player, so it can't be Mariucci. It's going to be, I think it's going to be one of those two.
Do you think Kurt Warner's texting Lance?
No, I don't think Warner S with Lance. I don't think Warner's got time for that.
Okay.
I think it's probably maybe Steve Smith.
I feel like he would have dropped Steve Smith's name.
The guy told him not to mention his name.
Oh. Okay.
For whatever reason.
Okay.
So I think it's between Smith.
And if Steve Smith made that request, you would definitely respect it. Even Lance would respect it.
There's some things you do respect. Steve Smith doesn't want to have some. Steve Smith, as told to the world by ESPN.com, or not ESPN, ESPN 97.5's Lance Zierlein, he said the Colts wouldn't have a chance to win this game. And look at that. The Colts win 31-21. Look how wrong Steve Smith was. Lance would have a problem. Yeah.
Next time. I guess they don't do. He's on the Thursday night crew, right? Thursday night football crew. On Amazon?
Who's Steve Smith?
Yeah. Wasn't that a thing last year with him getting into it with Jerry Jeudy?
I think he was at the game for NFL Network.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jerry Jeudy and him had a bit of an issue.
Well, if Lance slipped up and said it was Steve Smith, that might be Lance that Steve Smith has issues with they're playing on Thursday.
And no one wants issues with Steve Smith.
I don't think Lance would handle it as well as Jerry Jeudy did.
No, well, Jerry Jeudy had the cover of, hey, I got a game to play. Where's Lance going to go?
I have a press box to stand in.
Oh, so do I. Steve Smith Sr.'s like, yeah, so do I.
I'll be in the
that.
Same one, sitting right next to you.
Yeah. Look at that. I got a pass to go up in the elevator, too. We'll see how this plays out for you. Julian, you of 49er fandom, we see you. Your team's whole again, so I'm sure you're excited about the season coming up. Anyone else excited about a team? Look, we're going to talk Texans, sir. We'll get into more of their matchup against the Colts. But I know it's a big city, an NFL city, and if maybe you don't root for the Texans and you want to talk about your game, we welcome that too. We're welcoming to all. Unless you say a certain thing, which Julian has said quite a bit. So we are deep into the first hour. By the way, we still do have listener party tickets to give away for you guys. September 20th is the party. We're going to give those away today. So stay tuned for that if you want in and you want a chance to win a pair of tickets. We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll be back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. I talked a lot about the NFL. I kind of previewed what we're going to discuss when it comes to college football. MyBookie is a place for all of that. In fact, we had a caller on the first show, the morning show, talk about you could place a bet on what will be said in the presidential debate. I'm not going to get into specifically what he said, but you can find that prop on MyBookie. It was surprising, but it does exist. It's part of the reason you can bet on anything, anywhere, and any time with MyBookie. And they got something special going right now. They have the Super Survivor and Squares contest, and they're going to give away hundreds of thousands of dollars in prizes along with those contests. You can join in now for your shot at huge, huge cash rewards. All you got to do to get started is go to mybookie.ag and use your promo code BET975 to claim some extra bank on your first deposit. And this is also a promo code you can use if you're an existing customer as well. They have these bonus options that make it easy to deposit with crypto and or with credit. The bigger your deposit, the bigger your bonus. And they have this new loyalty program as well. It's called MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more you win. It's simple. You just climb through the tiers of loyalty rewards program to unlock even more promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. MyBookie Plus is the lock of the century. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. Just go to mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Julian was able to avoid being locked up again in his last call. We'll see if the streak continues. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. How likely is it that Isaiah Likely continues his usage? And also, Fake Ryan, a.k.a. Jalapeno Ranch Dressing, he asked the question, who can guzzle down the most Lizzies? It has to be somebody from the No Gag Reflex show that follows you, either Gallant or George. Have a good one.
Sean, is that something I should know about? Is that a thing that they call that show the No Gag Reflex show?
They don't
show?
Say No Gag.
It's because it's G&G?
G-A-G.
G-A-G.
Yeah. But no one said no Gag Reflex. That was a Julian invention.
Okay. I'll let you get to that call. All right. I didn't know that that was part of the show lore from 12 to 3. I did throw Joe on the list. He's from Chicago. They love a hot dog. I don't know about Paul. I know Twitch people have certain thoughts about Paul, but I can't confirm nor will I deny because, frankly, it's none of my business. But, yeah, if you don't know what that's about, someone called in earlier, as you heard Julian talk about, and asked about the Glizzy rankings as far as who could guzzle. Those are the words the caller used, most hot dogs. I would say we're better than that, but we're not. I can't pretend that we're better than that. I wish I could. I'd be like, you know what? This show has standards. We ain't got no standards. We welcome it. Okay, Texans, Colts, more serious manner. We talked about how Lance's unnamed NFL Network buddy doesn't think it'll be a close game. I am leaning that way unless what I think the Texans' big flaw shows itself. If they don't stop the run, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, I think this game turns into one that gets very uncomfortable, where the Colts are in very favorable situations, where they can use Anthony Richardson more in the run game, can use the threat of him running the football to get guys open. I don't think it'll be this dynamic, timing-based passing game. I think it'll be crossers that hurt the Texans, where it's 3rd and 3 and the Colts can play games underneath, where he doesn't have to throw into some of your shell coverages as you're trying to lock them down over the top, because I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to thrive in the intermediates with the intermediate stuff. It's going to have to be the short stuff, run after the catch from his receivers like A.D. Mitchell and Pierce, and I would say Bennett, but it's Bennett, right? I always say no. Yeah.
Who?
I always say Bennett, but it's not Bennett. It's another NFL name. Pittman. It's Pittman. I always think Bennett when I'm thinking Pittman. Just because it's another name. I remember watching his brother and his YouTube channel and the dad would come on and then Pittman would come on to the close wide receiver. So I always get those confused. But Pittman, Pierce, and Mitchell, I don't know how much they're gonna operate in their intermediate. But if you can suck up those linebackers because they're threatened by the running game, certainly that'll give some open space for Anthony Richardson to operate. So can the Texans make it a lot of 2nd and 8s and 3rd and 7s, or is it always going to be in that range where he can pick it up with his legs, he can extend the play, or some guy can come open because you're running some rub routes underneath? I hope that's not the case, because then the game gets short and uncomfortable because you have your possessions drop and your time on the field drops, and all of a sudden you're on the field for longer than you would want. I think that's the Colts' path to victory. Can the Texans do the basic thing of stopping the run? Can they shut down Jonathan Taylor? And then maybe Lance's buddy is correct. It's a long day for the Colts as the Texans pick apart what is a weak Colts secondary. I think that's the one, if we're talking about the fatal flaw of what could be a really good team, the middle of their defense, particularly when Danico Autry isn't even available to help them out. And, of course, a rookie corner, and you have some other guys who may be on their last chance when it comes to Jeff Okuda. That could be a problem, too. But stop the run. Force Richardson into clear passing situations where he needs to throw the ball down the field to make plays. And you got a real shot to win this game relatively easily. But that's why they play the game, right? All right, let's get to Jason. He wants to talk Texans, and then we'll get out of here for hour one. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. I have a Texans question, and I have a nonsensical question.
Welcome.
So my Texans question is, which of our running backs do you think will be more prevalent in the pass game? Joe Mixon or Cam Akers? And the nonsensical question is, if you you left the office, but you were not home, or not, you were headed home, but you didn't make it home yet, and you really had to use the bathroom, what is the cleanest place you could possibly stop and use it? Thank you.
Ooh.
Have a good one.
I don't mind it because, I mean, I don't have big issues with this, but it can always pop up. We all know you thought you're okay and then you're not okay. I notice when anxiety hits, like if I'm worried about being late someplace, then all of a sudden the anxiety of that affects other things. Let's get to his first question. How much is Cam Akers actually going to play? Are they going to designate him the third down back? That's my first question, because Joe Mixon is pretty good in the passing game and you would probably consider him a three-down back. So are they going to take Joe Mixon off the field because they think Cam Akers is dynamic enough for that to be viable? I hadn't thought of it, but that's a good question.
Yeah. I know on their unofficial depth chart that they put out, they had Akers as the fourth running back.
Yeah, so at least by, but as Sean mentioned, unofficially, he's not even but the fourth running back doesn't mean
it doesn't mean anything. They could play their fourth string running back more than Dare.
Yeah,
he's behind Dare.
Very true. Very true.
So,
but to answer his question, I guess since he asked a direct one, what do we think?
I would assume Joe Mixon, especially early in the year, and is going to be the three down back.
Yeah, and I would think the Texans can avoid some of their issues last year of always running the ball on first down. They did that a lot last year. And running the ball on second down when it should be a more favorable pass situation. I could see Joe Mixon being in there on third down because he's not getting carries early. It just depends on how Bobby Slowick is going to put the game plan together. Because if Joe Mixon's getting a ton of carries on first and second down, then you may see a different back. Wouldn't be Damian Pierce. It probably would be Cam Akers. But he's an accomplished guy, Joe Mixon. So right now, I'll agree with Sean. Particularly if Slowick goes the way I think he should when it comes to how they game plan. Put the ball in your best player's hand early, and that means there's not a lot of wear and tear on Joe Mixon on those early downs, so he can be out there on third down. So we'll go with Joe Mixon early. And of course, if it's a disaster, and disaster is a strong word, but if it doesn't go well early, then you could see Cam Akers out there. I do think Cam Akers will have a role, despite my outlandish stand on business take that Damian Pierce will be clearly the best back by the time November rolls around. And it was solely based on how they were talking about him in camp, particularly when Joe Mixon wasn't practicing. We didn't see any evidence of that on the field for Damian Pierce, but D'Amico Ryans has been talking about this 1-2 punch of Mixon and Pierce since mini camp. We're talking May and June, he's been talking about these guys playing together. So I'm just taking D'Amico at his word.
Yes. On the dock, it says Damian Pierce will be clearly the best running back on the Texans before November, parentheses, if D'Amico and Baldinger are right.
Baldinger saw him at practice.
Oh, okay.
He saw them when they were in Ohio for that week of practice. He saw
them.
That's
right.
That's where that came from. All I'm going by is what... Oh, is you don't trust Brian Baldinger? You don't trust D'Amico Ryans? I just trust the people who should know. And if I'm wrong, I blame them for misleading me.
Yep, that's the way to do it. And the nonsensical question? that Jason asked?
I'm trying to think because I don't face this very often. But what would be the cleanest place? I don't ever think I'm going to go into an office building and do that. I just don't. It doesn't even ever pop into my mind. I know a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
If there's a Buc-ee's on the way to where I'm going, that would be a place I would stop. If I knew a Buc-ee's was coming up, I would stop at the Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of rest stops more than
gas stations.
Gas stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those fit if you need to go. But
that's an issue for me because there's no rest stops between here and my house. Honestly, what I would do is just use the one here before I go. But I know that's not the question.
Yes. It's not something we're not.
I drive through Memorial Park, so that's probably the answer. Being honest.
Yeah. It's a tough one because it's always a possibility, but it never crosses your mind because I generally have pretty good bowel control. I've never been.
Oh, I also pass a Starbucks.
Starbucks is not a bad choice, yeah. But are they at a point where they make you buy something or they don't do that?
If I'm at this point, I'll pay $6 to
just to black, use the a black coffee. I don't even really order anything.
Whatever.
I gotta go. Which is ironic because then the coffee will force you at some point to do that again.
They're making money on both ends.
Both urines. All right. That we are done with hour one. You want to drop a nonsensical question that forces us to think? Cool. We're an hour in, an hour to go. What we'll do when we come back is we'll plan our Saturday, maybe your Saturday. How will you handle the college football Saturday where there are not a lot of big games? In fact, the biggest game of the day will be in that first window, but you got the rest of the day to figure out what to watch and which games would entertain you the most. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.